This podcast is sponsored by Low No Drinker magazine, the number one UK magazine for the sober, curious drinker, bringing you news, reviews and interviews from the people, places and brands leading the low and no alcohol revolution. As a Sober Rebel listener, use code SOBERREBEL15 to get 15% off any digital or print subscription from the Low No Drinker magazine for 6 whole months. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Sober Rebel podcast, where I talk to my guests about the benefits they've experienced in sobriety. And today I'm talking to Hadley. Hadley is a published author and a sobriety hype girl. I really loved our conversation. Hadley, hi, how are you?
I am well. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
If we start off then, I've been following you for a very long time since I joined Instagram. You were one of the first accounts, and I feel like I say that to everybody, but you do, don't you? When you first join Instagram, you just follow everyone, and it's amazing, this sober community.
It is, and I feel like you find those people that you sort of relate to, and say, like, you were one of the accounts that I always remember. Like, you find people and you just sort of latch on, and it's so fun to follow their progress and watch what they're doing.
Yeah, I really love your inventiveness with your reels. Because, I mean, how long have you been on Instagram doing the sober stuff now?
Well, so what's interesting is I have been on Instagram with the same account for probably 8 years. I was a fitness coach. And so I was on Instagram in that capacity, you know, preaching the whole mommy wine thing. In 2021, when I stopped drinking, I slowly started to share little bits about it. And then I ended up totally transitioning to talking about sobriety, probably like mid-2022. It's been a while, but I feel like I really went all in as a sobriety account probably a year and a half ago.
Tell me a little bit about your sobriety. Whatever you'd like to share, it's completely up to you. But how long have you actually been sober, and what made you go sober in the first place?
So I just hit 3 years in August. And, you know, I wonder what took me so long to get there, like so many of us do. I have been what I refer to as an enthusiastic social drinker my whole life. I drank for the first time at 14, and I thought, oh, this is, you know, I'm onto something. This helps solve for all the things about myself that I didn't really like, that I thought needed to be solved for. I went all into the college, university binge drinking scene. I hear that it's very similar there as it is here in the States. And it was just what everybody did. I mean, the way I drank was not out of the norm, which, you know, begs the question, the norm seriously needs to be challenged. You know, the binge drinking culture was really intense where I went to school. And I realized very early on that I was a blackout drinker. And nobody, that didn't seem to raise any red flags for anyone, including me, although I felt awful about it every time it happened, just stewing in shame and guilt and regret, feeling horrible about myself and swearing it would never happen again, but it always did. So from college, I moved sort of seamlessly into the mommy wine culture scene. And it was more of the same, except the same people who had been binge drinking in college, we were now sitting around outside on somebody's back porch with wine, and we had the baby monitors so we could listen for the kids. And it was very posh and civilized and classy, right? Yeah. And so that couldn't be a problem either. And I, you know, I mentioned that I was a fitness coach, and my whole sort of shtick on social media with that was that I was this wine-loving boy mom who was really fit, but also really loved her wine. And I sort of centered my whole persona around that online, but also in real life. It's so sad when I think back on it. All of the, you know, instead of sobriety reels, I was making really, you know, funny reels about how much I loved wine and needed wine and It was just so tacky. But meanwhile, I was just really struggling with it. I didn't feel good about it. My drinking had always felt off, toxic, icky, however you want to describe it. I knew something wasn't right. I felt like I was experiencing alcohol differently than everyone around me, even though I seemed to be drinking the same way everyone was. No one else seemed to be agonizing every morning after a Friday, crazy Friday night or Saturday night, whereas it just consumed me and I was miserable. So I had in August of 2021, after a summer where I had these kind of increasingly escalating drinking episodes, at our lake house, I woke up one morning in the middle of the night, you know, with the spins and the chills, and I just thought, why am I acting like I'm powerless to change this? I don't have to feel this way. And I was just, it was this like, it just like washed over me. Like, I'm sick and tired of feeling sick and tired. I don't have to do this anymore. And I think it was the first time where I really considered that I can stop drinking for good. That's actually an option because I don't think I ever thought it was an option before. In my mind, somehow it was, well, you have to be able to keep drinking. You just have to get better at it. You just have to fix whatever's wrong that makes you bad at it.
You've just hit the nail on the head there. I think I just thought I was doing it wrong because
Yeah.
everybody else looked so unfazed by it and they were just taking it on the chin. And here was me with this inner turmoil. I don't want to do this anymore. I feel awful. My self-esteem was on the floor. But it's not us to blame, is it?
No, and I think you're probably the same way as a, I'm sort of a driven overachiever, type A. I figure things out. It was like, well, why can't I figure this out? I should be able to. I should be able to fix it and get better and do it like I want to be able to do it, like I think everyone else is doing it. And that morning, it was just like, wait, maybe that's not the option. Maybe I can just be done and that'll solve for a lot of the crap in my life. And sure enough, you know, booze was causing 99% of my problems and I didn't realize it until I cut it.
And so, how did you go about it then? Was it just that steely determination, that realization? What did you do?
So that was a part of it. I do not, however, feel like people will say, well, did you just white knuckle it? And no, I didn't feel like that at all. It was just this such a firm sense of knowing that this was what needed to be done that kind of helped me moving in the right direction. It was like a switch flipped, and I no longer felt like it was this miserable sacrifice. Like I was excited to make this change. So the first thing I did was start reading books. I started with Holly Whitaker's Quit Like a Woman, and it changed my whole worldview, right? I already knew that I wanted to stop drinking, but that was what made me like kind of wake up to the realities of like big alcohol and wait, this is actually a feminist issue. And they've been trying to get us drinking more. And here's actually what it does to our bodies and our brains and our mental health. And it was like, once you know that, all that, you can't unknow it. And so, because it's kind of just how I am, I went down the rabbit hole of like just devouring Quitlet books. I mean, I read so many Quitlet books. And that was what got me started on the path to write my own because I realized, as helpful and amazing as they were, none of them really told my story. I couldn't totally relate to any of them. I started, you know, listening to podcasts. I started kind of digging in online and I started to uncover sober Instagram. I did a lot of self-care, a lot of self-care. I knew it was going to be a hard process, even though I was not someone who had to, you know, detox or go through physical withdrawal. I was, you know, fortunate to not have to deal with that side of things. But there's a different kind of detox, right? When it's been such a huge part of your life for decades, and you have to suddenly figure out who you are without alcohol and how to move through the world without it when you thought it was kind of a mandatory thing before. So it was, you know, self-care, it was education, and it was then community, finding people out here on Instagram that I connected to and started building relationships with, and realizing that I wasn't alone. And I also connected with an app around this time that no longer exists, unfortunately. But I started working with this app and creating content for them. But then that became a whole another community of people kind of going through the same thing that was really helpful.
That really helps, doesn't it? That community. And I do
want
to talk about your book. So your book,
The Dirty Truth on Social Drinking, Everything in Moderation and Other BS.
It is BS, isn't it? And isn't it the truth, the dirty truth about social drinking? Because that's presumably the bracket that you felt you fell into. And when you're looking and thinking about quitting, I know I couldn't put myself in certain boxes in my head. It was like, well, I don't feel like I fit the box that I'm dependent, or I don't feel, but I clearly had an issue.
Yeah.
I clearly had a problem and I needed support. And there's this big, they call it the gray area, don't they?
Right.
Big swathe of just no support, no help, no nothing. I mean, if you went to your doctor, which I did, and I hinted quite a few times with my doctor that I, you know, I think I might be drinking too much, they sort of wash over it.
Oh, yeah. Don't you love that? It's amazing to me that the medical community doesn't talk about it more. I think because they're all drinking too, right? It's yeah. And I wanted to use, you know, social drinking in the title because I wanted to sort of lower the barrier to entry for people to realize, wait, maybe it's not just, you know, my issue with all of the books I read was they felt more of like those stereotypical rock bottom stories that I just couldn't relate to. And we've been for so long conditioned to think that there's just two buckets, right? You're either an alcoholic in quotes, or you're normal, and you have to fall into one of those buckets. And now, of course, we realize that's so far from the truth, right? Alcohol use disorder occurs on the spectrum. And so there's, we can fall anywhere in there. And yeah, you can be a social drinker and still have a problem. And really, there's so many issues with the idea of social drinking in and of itself. So I wanted to, you know, unpack that and make it maybe a little more desirable for the people who, like I did, and probably you too, thought, well, I don't fit into that alcoholic bucket, so I don't need a book about somebody that does. I wanted to be a little more accessible to people who were just maybe getting curious or starting to question their relationship with alcohol, but weren't sure where they fell.
Yeah, because you don't know where it's going to end up.
No.
And that's the thing. I mean, if I'd have carried on, where would I have ended up? And I always said I was like one disaster away from another, like, serious stage.
Me too.
Thinking, you know, if something really terrible happened, then who knows? That was my catch-all. That was my emotional off switch, my worrying off switch. So something big happens, I'm going to turn to it if that's my comfort blanket.
Oh, yeah. And I experienced that somewhat in 2020, like so many people who kind of their drinking sort of escalated through the pandemic. But I had sort of taken a break for a little bit after a rough one of those, like, I'm never going to drink again hangovers. And I successfully took a break for a couple of months, which I was always able to do, which was always further evidence, you know, that I didn't have a problem. But I had taken a break, and then COVID sort of rolled in. And, you know, the kids were home from school, and it was one thing after another. My husband was diagnosed with cancer, right? Like, in early on in COVID. And it was just all of these things. And it was like, forget this. I need wine, right? So it still didn't escalate like it could have, but I did go back to drinking, and it became more consistent than it ever had been before. And it absolutely would have kept getting worse if I hadn't made a change. I don't know what the trajectory would have looked like, but I know it would have gotten worse.
I'm so sorry about your husband. Is he okay now?
He is great. He is 100% now. So that's all in the past, but it just, you know, it made for a crazy 2020, crazier than it already was.
Yeah, because it was pretty crazy, wasn't it? That sort of then became more regular, reliant drinking. It's when you're drinking for something, isn't it? Like to switch off or to stop worrying or because of this or because of that. And of course, you weren't going out partying, so you couldn't say it was social drinking.
Yeah, that there was definitely a shift there. It was like a, it's 5 o'clock, it's time to have my glass of wine while I watch the news and kind of track how the world is falling apart around us. And you know, I drown my stress and my worry. And it was definitely it was definitely different.
Yeah. So well done on the book. I've been watching you.
Thank you. It's been an adventure for sure.
It is so amazing to write these things, isn't it? Because you get to be so reflective.
Oh yeah, it was a part of the process for me. It was really kind of healing and cathartic to get it all out there, especially when shame is a big part of your story and you've sort of been holding on to that for so long. It feels so good to just get it out there.
It's nice on Instagram as well, isn't it? To just be able to go, because people say to me about, thank you so much for sharing your vulnerable videos and things like that. And it sort of feels good just to go, look, I'm not ashamed of the fact that actually this was tough to stop. And it's addictive. And I think all, we should all be very, very proud. No shame involved.
It feels so good to release that, and you take away its power when you shine the light on it, right? You say, I don't, you know, I'm going to tell the whole world this story. It, I can't, you know, sometimes I will think of something, you know, how you do, you pull it out of the depths of your kind of drunk chest of war stories, and I'll think about it and cringe and go, oh, I can't believe that happened. And then I go, okay, well, I'll just turn it into an Instagram post and then I'll let it go.
Yeah, I'll just tell
And
the world.
I can feel my mom cringing across the internet. No, I shouldn't say that. She's so supportive, but that's the person I think about when I go, ooh, sorry, mom.
Are you quite out there with your sobriety in real life as well as online?
Yeah, I am. I am. Although, and I don't know if you're the same way. I think people, I talked about this on Instagram recently. I don't think about it, or it doesn't take up much of my life anymore. It's just a thing that I don't do. I choose to keep sharing and talking about it on Instagram because that's what my Instagram is about and my book is about and all of that. But it's not like I am moving through the world thinking about sobriety 24/7. I mean, it's what's amazing is that I don't have to think about it much anymore. It's just not really a factor. Alcohol is just no longer a factor in my life. You know, it gets after a point, it just gets so much easier. I think early on, we think I'm going to be agonizing over this forever, thinking about it forever. It's always going to feel hard. And then that transition starts to take place. And finally, it's like, oh, it's just the thing I used to do. And now I don't.
When did that happen for you?
I want to say, you know, it was sort of a slow process for a while. I'd say like in the first year where you're sort of making the lap through all of those firsts, right? Your first party, your first girls' weekend, your first concert, your first whatever all those firsts are, you get a little stronger and more confident with each one, and it gets a little easier. But once you've sort of made that lap, you know, the first holiday season, the first all of that, it's like, oh, I did it and it was great and it wasn't really that bad, you know? So I feel like then into that second year, it was like I thought about it less and less and less. And you know, probably around the 2 year mark, it was like, this is just really not something that I have to spend much time or energy on anymore.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Yeah, because a lot of people will say that to me. When do you stop thinking about it? I had a client this week that said, I'm taking this on trust that this is going to get easier, And you do have to. You just have to look at people that are further down the road than you and just go, look, they all wouldn't be so happy about it if it wasn't for the fact it's like a really good choice. And it does get easier. It really does.
And even when it was hard, I knew it was a really good choice.
Yeah. you sort of decided, hadn't you? It was like almost turning that determination that you clearly have, and just saying, I know this is a good life choice, so I'm going to really focus and push forward for this. And I think I must have done something similar, that as soon as I got it in my head that I was actually doing it and I wasn't going to keep resetting and messing about, then that was it.
Right. And people will say, and I don't, if you get this, you just made that choice and then you just did it on the first try, and kind of like a, well, that's not normal. And I'm like, okay, this was not the first try. This was, I mean, I had been going back and forth and taking breaks and agonizing, I mean, for years and years and years. This was just the first time that I changed my mindset around it and went into it differently. But it wasn't like this magical, oh, I just did this out of the blue. I made this change. I mean, there had been lots of trial and error along the way.
And there really is. I think it was a decade for me of you were talking about the fact that you're almost having constant conversations with yourself. I need to be able to do this better. Why isn't so and so struggling like I'm struggling? Yeah, it does take a long time.
Yeah, it does. And also, we should probably mention that so and so probably was struggling also.
Yeah. Oh,
I
don't you
think,
know it? The minute you go
yeah.
sober, you start talking to people, isn't it?
And they're going, oh, yeah, I kind of, I thought everyone was so fine with it. But then you realize, oh, maybe some of them were, but a lot of them probably were feeling some degree of what we were feeling.
Yeah. And what about your fitness? Because you're a PT, you said. So how did that sort of get impacted by sobriety?
Well, it was interesting. So I'm a marathon runner and a fitness junkie, and I was always out there preaching about how about balance. You can do it all, right? I loved my wine, but I also ate a lot of kale and quinoa, and then I would run 10 miles on Saturday morning. Never mind that I was fighting nausea and dehydration and whatever, because I had had 4 glasses of wine on Friday night, and I acted like I earned that wine because I did all these healthy things. But really, I was poisoning my body and then expecting it to perform at a high level, and then wondering why I wasn't making any progress with my running, wondering why I always felt crappy. But I was still at that stage in our life, in my 30s, where you can get away with more. Your body's a little more forgiving.
Yeah.
If I tried any of this now, if I tried to drink a bottle of wine and then run 10 miles the next morning, I would just be a puddle on the sidewalk. But I could kind of get away with it. But it turns out there were all kinds of like issues sort of building up in my body that I didn't notice, or I couldn't really address until I quit drinking. So there was this weird sort of transition for me, because as I stopped drinking, I suddenly felt very kind of inauthentic. I felt like I had been living this lie, and my whole social media persona around my fitness business was built around this idea that you can drink, love wine, but still be really healthy. And I was suddenly realizing that wasn't true. So I sort of like withdrew and got really quiet publicly for a while. I kind of stopped posting. I didn't know what to say. It was like, oh, I felt like a sham because I had been preaching this ridiculous message, and I was suddenly realizing how ridiculous it was, and I was embarrassed. It was like, I can't believe, as my eyes were opening to all of the issues around alcohol, I was like, I can't believe that I've been perpetuating the story and doing such a disservice to women. So I went through this. It was just this turmoil for a while, trying to figure out what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go. And so I sort of withdrew from my fitness business and ended up, shifting course. because I felt then so called to start sharing in the other direction. And so there was this weird period where I had, 20,000 Instagram followers who had been following me for fitness, and they were like, what the hell is going on? Now, all of a sudden, she used to share wine memes, and now she's talking about how amazing sobriety is and that alcohol causes breast cancer and all this stuff. And it was like, it was a weird sort of transition.
Did your followers, did they sort of stay?
A lot of them did. What's interesting is there was some attrition. There was this weird period where, like, my Instagram was sort of, in hindsight, I probably should have started a new page, because I think it was very confusing for people for a while. So there was like, I lost a lot of followers, I gained some new ones, like nobody really quite knew what was going on. But there were so many people who I had been connected with out there for ages who started sending me messages and saying, oh my gosh, I feel the same way. Oh, I've been experiencing that too. Oh, it was that. Oh, me too. I've been laughing at all your wine memes, but actually I felt really crappy on the inside also. And so that was what started to tip me off to, hey, I wasn't the only one. Maybe I should talk about this more. Maybe there's more people. And that's when I started going in the other direction. I just felt so called to share. And that's also around the time I thought, well, if I didn't relate to any of those other books, or I mean, I related to them, but I didn't see my story. I thought, well, maybe I can be the one to tell it. Maybe I can tell my story. And so, that's when I shifted. So I'm still a runner. I'm still a fitness fanatic, but that's just not my focus anymore in terms of business or social media.
What you say there about getting away with it in your 30s and kind of knowing that you're going to get away with it in your 40s, I think that's probably my life right there. And I would go to the gym a couple of times a week, and I would do all of these things, and just such bad habits behind the scenes. Eat the right things, but drink. That's so true about you turn 40, you kind of go, I don't think I want to be getting away with this anymore.
Yeah. And just because we were getting away with it in our 30s certainly doesn't mean that it was okay or that it was good for, right? It wasn't. We know that now. It's just that you can get away with a little bit more. And what's interesting is when I quit, by the time that summer that I finally pulled the plug, I felt awful. I was gaining weight in a way that didn't make any sense. I was bloated and swollen. I was feeling all of these strange symptoms, but half the time you'd think, oh, I'm just hungover. It was that kind of weekend binge drinking where I would, we would be at our lake house for the weekend, and we'd have friends there. And so it was like vacation drinking. And then Monday would roll around, I would be hungover, I'd feel miserable till, Wednesday maybe. And then we would go back to the lake and the whole cycle would start again on Friday. And so I thought, well, I'm just perpetually hungover. When I quit, this will all go away. And what happened was I quit and all of the problems kind of bubbled to the surface, like, hey, now you can pay attention to us. And it turns out I had really miserable gut and stomach issues that had been brewing. I had a thyroid issue. I had all kinds of stuff. And so it took almost a year and a half of me working with a doctor to get it all straightened out and to really feel healthy again. But I just think if I had kept drinking, it would have kept masking the symptoms, and I never would have addressed them. I just would have kept feeling worse and worse and worse.
So I ask my guests on here,
yes,
to talk about their three areas, their three benefits. What's your first area you'd like to talk about?
My first one, I would say, is parenting. Really, for me, quitting alcohol brought the joy back to parenting for me. I think that when you buy into the mommy wine culture narrative, this, oh, it's so hard being a mom, I'm so stressed, the kids are crazy, school is overwhelming, all, you know, all the reasons we give ourselves, you start, it's like you spend the day tallying all those negatives so that you can then, you know, pop that wine at 5 o'clock and detach. And so I was always focused on the negatives about how hard and how stressful it was, how much I deserved this wine. And I feel like that just makes you lean away from your kids and your family instead of leaning in. It made me, you know, instead of that wine at 5 o'clock making me happy and present and connected and joyful, it made me cranky and detached, and I sort of pulled away more, and I just felt like I was constantly looking for all of the negatives and, you know, keeping track of all the reasons why I was stressed and I needed it. And then there were little things like, oh, you know, I hope practice is canceled tonight so I can have a glass of wine, or just all those silly little things that add up. And when I quit, I realized, wow, the evenings with my family are actually much more pleasant. It opened up, really, at the ages my kids were at, the conversations that we get to have now about my quitting and about alcohol. Like, it's amazing. It's been such a cool part of the experience.
You said you have boys, don't you? How old are they?
Yeah, I have 3 boys. I have a 13-year-old, a 15-year-old, and then a 25-year-old who's already, you know, out and off on his own. Yeah, so with the younger ones, it was like they've been a part of this and they know all about it. And they, you know, we have conversations from all angles. I get all the crazy stuff on Instagram. You know, I had this post about teenage drinking that went viral in the wrong corner of the internet, and it was just so nasty and unpleasant. And apparently everyone thinks that we need to teach our kids how to binge drink appropriately so they don't, you know, go crazy in college. It was just bizarre. But everybody's like, well, don't you think your kids are going to rebel because you're shoving down their throat that alcohol is bad and they can never drink? And I'm like, no, because that's not what I'm teaching my kids. I'm not telling them that alcohol is bad. I'm not telling them that they can never drink. My husband still drinks. That's not how I approach this. They're just going to be so much more educated. And yes, my kids might still rebel, because that's what kids do. But if they do, it's not going to be because I've been teaching them that alcohol is bad and they have to stay away from it forever. Even like the viral posts that went crazy, I was like reading the comments to them and we were having conversations about it. And I made them read the blog article post I had written and we talked about it. I'm like, so really, this all is the opposite of what these people are saying. It's opened up these beautiful lines of communication where we've gotten to talk about really tough issues. And they'll be much more educated than I ever was when I started drinking at 14, which is terrifying to me, you know, with a 13 and a 15-year-old. So yeah, it's just been a really lovely part of the process. I just, especially as they're teenagers, you know, knowing that I can always hop in the car to pick them up or take them somewhere. I can pick up a friend. I'm always willing to be the one that drives because I don't know if the parents taking them to the shopping center on Friday night have been drinking after work. But I know I haven't been. So sure, I'll pick everyone up and give them a ride. You know, just things like that that make me so happy to be able to do.
And it's nice for me to actually see somebody who's got teenagers. My daughter turns 13 2 days' time. Oh. And we've had loads of conversations. I mean, she saw me as a drinker. She's so proud. And she's been on some reels on Instagram. She's so interested and into it. And she just says to me, "Mom, I'm never drinking." And I said, "Look, I don't, you know, you do what you need to do.
Right.
Just have respect for it," is all I would say. I think we all went into it headlong. There's no downsides. It's really cool.
It's really normal. Yeah.
Yeah. And just have a little bit of awareness about it, a little bit of education about it. And she'll do whatever she wants to do. But do we not have conversations about drugs and smoking with children? And if they're going to rebel, then we still tell them that, you know, there are consequences if you do things like this.
So
it's
Right. We
just having
still
that
have boundaries
foundation.
and expectations. I don't know why with alcohol it's different. We should, well, everyone's gonna do it, so we might as well teach them how to do it safely, which is what I got. Which, okay. And how exactly do you teach them how to do it safe? I mean, I won't even go down that path because it gets, I just had no idea how ugly people would get over a topic like that.
I saw that comment that somebody made, you shared about, oh, imagine this is your whole identity. Right. I did laugh.
Yeah, and I've gotten that several times lately. Oh, and now this is your whole personality. No, but it is my whole Instagram, right? Just like somebody who has a fashion page or a recipe page or a whatever your Instagram is about, you wouldn't say that to them. Oh, sharing Amazon outfits must be your whole identity, you know?
I'm proud that my identity has a big part of sobriety in it, but it's certainly
Yes, me
my
too.
only talents or only
Yes.
personality. Yeah, so well done on that. I think you're handling any sort of trolling exceptionally well.
Oh, thank you. Sometimes it's harder than others, you know, but
Yeah, it's like it's when it cuts, you know, a little bit too close to the bone, but actually most of the time you can kind of look and go, oh, it's so interesting the conversations that people have though.
it is. It is.
So parenting, and this is something that having now a 4-year-old, I'm raising her completely differently now because I'm not drinking.
Right.
And I'm not saying that I raised my eldest in a wrong way or anything. It's just that I'm noticing that I've got more time or patience at certain times of the day. And like you say, those little things like, oh, I hope that's cancelled because then I can have wine. How do you think you'd have been do things differently?
Gosh, if I could do things differently, I would. You know, they saw, whether they were internalizing it or not, they saw me. Oh, I need a drink at 5 o'clock every, you know, or oh, I need wine, or every social event we went to, it was all about like how we could drink. And the kids pick up on that, right? They absorb it, they notice everything. And I just, we would, you know, I live in right outside of Washington, D.C. in Virginia, and it's Virginia wine country. There's wineries everywhere. And so that's what people do around here. You would, you know, Sunday afternoon, you take the whole family to the winery and the kids play with a football and the parents sit and drink wine. They're absorbing all of that. They were learning early on that that's how, as an adult, that's how you have fun. It's how you connect. It's how you handle stress. It's how you do all of those things. And so they were just absorbing those messages. And it just also, like so many situations where we were at parties or events, and there was that mentality like, oh, let the kids just play and leave us alone so we can drink. Ugh, it's so icky. But so those are the things I would love to go back and be able to redo. Well, obviously now they're getting the opposite experience, and we've talked about it all, and you know, but they absorbed that for years.
Do they talk about that with you?
Not really, because I'm not sure how much they really would say they remember it now. It wasn't a huge, I think I dwell on it more than they ever did or will. I mean, but it was the kind of stuff where if my son had to do the little picture for preschool that was like, what's mommy's favorite things? He would have drawn me with a glass of wine, you know, at the time. And I just wish I could kind of get those years back to be more present and kind of experience them the way I'm experiencing things now. But of course, there's no use in dwelling on that because we can't go back. But those are the changes I would make. I just wish that I could sort of undo those messages
You are doing
sending
that though,
them.
aren't you? You
Yeah,
are now.
absolutely.
Yeah. And obviously, we can't go back, but we do. I don't know if you did this. I had those moments, and you do have those moments of regret. And I think a lot of people will say they've had those like cringy moments where you think, oh, I wish that hadn't happened, or I wish I'd done that differently. And it's just accepting those times and going, okay.
Yeah, so many internal cringe moments, you know, where you think about a memory and go, oh,
Yeah, but aren't we doing great now? We're doing all the right things.
Oh, we are.
And it's not attacking anybody that drinks that is a parent
No.
either. I'm very clear to say that because not everybody, and I don't think I was a bad mother as a drinker at all.
No, I
Just I would have done
absolutely
things
not.
differently, you know.
Yeah, I feel confident in that. I was still a wonderful mother. I loved my kids. We had great experiences. It was just always there, and I wish it hadn't been. But that's fine now, it's not, and we're moving forward and creating so many amazing new memories.
That's so true. So, what's your second thing?
My second thing, the big change I would say is, I would say my mental health. Eliminating alcohol is not a magical cure-all for mental health issues, so I never want to imply that it is. But mine was taking a serious hit from my drinking, especially at the end. And when I quit, I felt a difference almost immediately. And it was several things. I struggled with anxiety and some mild depression for a while after my youngest son was born. And I was taking medication for that, and it made a big difference for a while. But then there were periods where, of course, you're not supposed to drink while you're taking that medication. But I was. So not only was I sort of negating the effects of the medication, but I was also pouring gasoline on the anxiety and depression by drinking, because we know that's what alcohol does. And so I had lots of ups and downs and just felt really crummy a lot of the time, in addition to sort of the damage that the shame and the regret and those things kind of have on our mental health, that feeling of I'm always letting myself down. I'm always breaking the promises I make to myself. Why can't I, back to the why can't I figure this out? We're sort of beating ourselves up. And so I really felt an escalation in the mental health issues the summer that I quit, because, like I said, there was this period of it, because this was 2021. It was after COVID a little bit. My husband had finished his treatment. We had been really isolated because he had a compromised immune system. So he was getting better. We were allowed to start having friends visit at the lake house again after being isolated for so long. And so somebody different was coming every weekend. And it was, again, people come to visit at our lake house, and it's like vacation drinking, because they're on vacation. We're there all the time, but they're on vacation. So we would drink like we were on vacation all weekend. And then Monday, my hangovers were coming with this really dark cloud of like mental health doom. I would sort of slide into a depressive episode, and I was anxious, and I had trouble sleeping. And that would take until like Wednesday or Thursday to clear. And then we would start the whole cycle over again on Friday. And I felt like, why isn't my medicine, why isn't my Lexapro working anymore? Well, I wonder, And so when I had that realization, and I woke up with that last hangover, I started to feel a lift in the first 2 weeks. It was like the cloud was slowly dissipating. My medicine was able to work because I wasn't drinking on top of it. And I was sort of building my confidence because I was keeping this really important promise to myself. I was starting to believe in myself a little more. I realized what a positive change I was making. And all of those things just sort of kept accumulating. And suddenly it was like, hey, I don't feel like I'm stuck in this, depressive vortex anymore. It was really drastic. And it's not all sunshine and roses. I still have down days, down weeks. There's peaks and valleys. That's just part of life. But I was making it all so much worse for myself. And it was such a light bulb moment when I realized how much of my struggle was really because of alcohol all along.
Yeah, it does really affect your mental health. It really does. And it's not a fix-all, as you say, but
Right.
you are making life so much more difficult with it.
Oh, yeah.
What's your third thing?
My third thing I would say is that when I quit drinking, I finally learned to value and kind of appreciate myself as an introvert because I am. I spent decades trying using alcohol to make myself an extrovert because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. I thought that's what the world kind of wanted from me. When I first started drinking as a teenager, it was because I felt awkward. I was shy. I felt like I didn't fit in. You know, that's what all teenagers want is just to fit in. And I felt like a square peg in a round hole. And when I discovered drinking, it was like, oh, this smooths all those edges I thought were so rough. And this is the answer. This helps me be more social and outgoing and exciting. And, you know, I can be the life of the party. But it's not really me. And I didn't really want to be that, but I felt like that's what was expected. And so I just leaned into it and went with it. You know, I never liked going to loud clubs and parties and bars and I would always hope that plans got canceled and we got to just stay home. But you know, I drank and I pushed through and I closed the place down and I did all the things. But when I finally stopped drinking, I realized, oh, yeah, no, I just really don't enjoy those things. I love my quiet, cozy life. And it was like letting go of the idea that I had to be something I wasn't. And so I sometimes say, oh, geez, I hope people don't think that I'm super boring now because I'm sober. I'm boring now because I realized that I really like to be boring and I'm no longer using alcohol to be something different. I just, you know, I have close friends that I love spending time with, but I would always rather, you know, a coffee date with one friend than have to go to a party at a loud restaurant or bar. Or it's just who I am. I'm an introvert and I'm very happy with that. But it took me until I was what, 41 to really learn that. I think that's one of the things that I missed by starting to drink when I did was that I didn't learn how to be an introvert. I just learned that I wasn't supposed to be, I was supposed to be something else. And I needed alcohol to accomplish that. And then at 41, it was like, oh, that is not who I am at all. And this is so empowering because now I get to do exactly what I want to do. And I have no, it's easy for me to say, oh, you guys are all going out. Well, and of course, I'm in my mid 40s. My friends aren't going to clubs anymore. I think it's great if people do, but I have no problem saying you guys are going out and doing something loud and drunk. That's fine. Can we just go for a walk on Monday morning or Sunday morning instead? I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. And just becoming very comfortable with who I am, it's been such a blessing.
It has. And I wonder how much of that is kind of wisdom that comes as we get older and we sort of get into our 40s, and how much of it is sobriety, that sort of being really comfortable with who we are, because alcohol is just masking it.
Yeah. And I say the sobriety thing happened at the perfect age and stage of my life. Maybe I wouldn't have been as successful with it if this had been in my late 20s or something, because I still was at that point where I was worried about what other people thought, or I was worried about fitting in, or I was worried. You get to your mid 40s and you're like, fitting in is the least of my, like, that is not even on the list of things that I'm worried about anymore, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So if you could go back in time to you as you woke up that morning and went, look, I don't have to do this, is there a piece of advice you give yourself from this place with hindsight?
I think the advice I would give myself is to just be patient and comfortable with the fact that you're doing the right thing. Right? I don't want to imply with the way I tell my story that it was easy and there were no bumps in the road. It was still a really hard process. and learning who I was without alcohol and how to kind of move through the world was hard. But I would sort of reassure that version of Hadley that she was on the right path, that this was such a necessary change. It was going to open so many doors that she didn't even know existed at the time. I wouldn't believe you if you had told me what my life would look and feel like 3 years later, or that I had published a book about sobriety of all things. But I would just, I would tell her to be patient, keep going, know that you're on the right path. Now, if I could go back even to a earlier version of Hadley, I would give her the advice to not wait so long, right? And to even open her eyes to the fact that quitting completely was really an option that she should be considering. Because I ignored it as an option for so long, foolishly, thinking that it just wasn't even something that you could do unless you fell into that alcoholic category. So, I wish I could go back and plant that seed a few years younger, but there's no sense in, dwelling on that.
Yeah, it's good though to sort of share what would have worked, isn't it? And with that
Yeah.
in mind, what would you say? There's a lot of people, I don't know. Do you have Sober October in America, or is it a UK thing?
No, we have it here as well. Lots of
Okay.
people.
So this episode is going out in October. So there'll be lots of people probably midway through their month. What would you say to them?
Well, I would say a few things. I know there's different ideas. People have different opinions about the idea of dry months, but I say that anytime you're drinking less alcohol for any reason, your body and your mind are going to thank you. So if you're doing Sober October, I think it's amazing. Give it a chance. Give it the same chance that you would give, that we've given drinking for so long, right? We always say that. Give sobriety the same chance that you gave drinking. But the other thing I would say is do not feel like it has to be perfect. I think so many people give up on months like this because they have a slip or they have a social event where they think they have to drink out, or, and then they throw up their hands and they say, oh, well, it's a lost cause. I'll try again in January or something like that. But it doesn't have to be perfect. Just keep going. Just keep going. Just like if you had 100 pounds to lose and you slipped and you ate something that you weren't intending one day, you wouldn't just throw up your hands and go to McDonald's and order the whole menu. Just keep going. Just make the next right decision and just know that it will be so worth it. I'm sure you haven't either. I've never met anyone who has regretted that they quit drinking.
No, I haven't. No, I've never met anybody that said I regret it, And
Yeah,
that's
and that
got to
should be so
be
telling.
like the biggest green flag out there, shouldn't it? It's like,
Right.
it really should be.
Right. Anything worth doing is going to be hard at some point. And I think that's just what we have to remind ourselves.
It is choose your heart, isn't it? And it, appreciating yourself as an introvert, that particular point there, I hear so many people in the sober community who say, actually, do you know what? I just didn't enjoy the parties or the clubbing. And it's not to say they're boring, it's just that different things excite different people. And I
Yeah.
was never a clubber. I was never been clubbing twice. Quite proud of that. Now I'm quite proud of that. When I was younger, I was,
Yeah.
look at this, what's wrong with me? Why don't I want to go? And it was overwhelming. It was just too loud. I found that you couldn't talk to anybody and have a decent conversation. I should imagine I would have drunk a lot. And I didn't then feel safe because I like to always keep my wits about me. So I was a drinker at home, not a drinker out. If I was out, I wanted to know what was going on because I wanted to be safe.
Yes, so smart. Whereas I put myself in so many unsafe situations because I did not have my wits about me. And I did go to lots of clubs and did all those things, even though I didn't want to, but I drank in order to do it. And I'm so lucky that I am here to tell the tales.
Yeah, I've seen those pictures of you in the pink
Oh,
thing.
the
Yeah,
80s party.
the
Yeah.
80s night, where you share about that you were blacked out.
Yeah. And that was actually at our home. I mean, it was still awful, but at least it wasn't also out in public somewhere where I was in an unsafe situation. But yeah,
But like you said, we
there were
don't have
plenty.
pictures of that, do we? I think you shared a post on it. It's the reason I always share these same pictures is because I didn't have
I
pictures
deleted them
of that.
all. That was part of my next morning process where you look for evidence and you try to piece things together. And then it was like, there's pictures, delete, delete, delete. I didn't want to see them.
Which is a bit of a shame now because you could have shared them on Instagram.
I know. I always think, oh, I have to share these same pictures again because they're the only ones I
And not everybody is an introvert. There are lots of extroverts out there. Are many people, I've interviewed them on the podcast as well, and there are many people that love clubbing, love going out, love socializing. And I love socializing just on my terms.
Yes, same.
Like you say, a coffee, a walk, a meal. I'll have a meal. It's not that I after 5 o'clock I stay home, but I just want to be able to communicate and connect with somebody.
And I don't even mind. I don't mind being around alcohol. Like I have, groups of girlfriends. We will still all go out to dinner. They'll drink. That's fine. It doesn't bother me at all. My desire to have nothing to do with going to a bar isn't because I can't be around the alcohol. It's just because I never liked that sort of atmosphere and having to talk to big groups of people. I'd rather be with a few close friends that I can really connect with on a meaningful level than kind of shallow surface level interactions with a bunch of people who aren't even going to remember it the next day.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly put. Hadley, it has been amazing to meet you. Amazing to
Oh,
spend
it's been
an hour
so
chatting.
fun. It's
Thank
been
you
a
so
great.
much for taking the time to chat to me.
Oh, I'm happy to do it. I'm so glad we got the chance.
If you'd like to find out more about Hadley, then I've popped a link in the show notes to her book and her Instagram profile. And as always, if you'd like to find out more about myself, you'll find my Instagram link in the show notes, along with a link to my website, louisaevans.com, where you'll find lots of resources, including my Sober Resilience course, an online course that you can do in your own time. And it includes 11 hypnosis and relaxation recordings. If you use code SOBERREBEL544, you'll get 30% off. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope you've enjoyed it.